This podcast is brought to you by Medical Plastics News, the leading voice in polymer innovation for the medical sector. To read more and to subscribe, visit medicalplasticsnews.com. And welcome to this episode of the MedTalk podcast, where we discuss the latest news and issues in life sciences. I'm Olivia Freit, the editor of Medical Plastics News, and I'm joined today by Olivia Simpson, the CEO and co-founder of Symbiotex, where we will discuss why they chose to use seaweed as a sustainable replacement for plastic. So Olivia, could you tell me a bit about what the company does and your specific role?
Yeah, at Symbiotex, we displace single-use plastics, specifically in the medical sector, using seaweed. We offer a plug-and-play solution in which we provide the bioplastic in the form of pellets, which can be reprocessed on standard industrial machinery, such as injection molders, to mold a range of products, such as medical devices, including lateral flow tests. Using seaweed not only allows us to have a 100% bio-based plastic, but also enables the material to be home compostable at its end of life. So it's a solution from nature that goes back into nature as well.
And how did you come up with the idea of using seaweed as a sustainable plastic replacement?
Yeah, great question. So when I was actually finishing my degree, I did a year's placement within the NHS. And it was during that time I saw the sheer volume of single-use plastics, most of which were non-hazardous, were just packaging, that were going to be incinerated or landfilled every day. And I got into researching this a little bit more and found that of the 60 million inhalers distributed across the UK every year, of which only 0.5% ever get recycled. So I got involved in some local return to pharmacy schemes for the inhaler casings. And what we found was actually only 1.6% of people returned their inhalers back. And then only of those were 0.5% recycled. So the statistics are really not great for many medical plastics. And I just thought, why should medical devices meant to help our health be detrimental to the environment and eventually us? Because they're landfilled or incinerated and cause the creation of microplastics, which, as we can see, there's a whole host of, you know, not nice things that are happening to our health from those. And that's really when I started looking into, okay, why aren't alternative materials for the medical sector being looked at? We see it a lot in hospitality and catering, but no one seems to be tackling the issue with the NHS. And it's got some pretty heavy targets to meet, such as net zero by 2045, and companies fitting solar panels and switching to renewable energy on its own isn't going to be enough to really see change. And that's really where myself and my co-founder got to thinking of how we could apply his knowledge and work in bioplastics to the medical field as a sector. And that's really how we came about it, was wanting to make a change, a real change to the sustainability in healthcare.
Okay, so I know you've obviously talking about like medical devices and things like that, but are there other industries that this material can be used in?
Yes. Our main focus is on the medical sector. However, we're currently exploring other applications with the material. Our pellets can be reprocessed and they can be used via 3D printing for a range of different applications. But one of the things we're actually looking at is electrical chemical devices, also electrospinning the material for potential use in medical filters, and some of the leftover components after we extract the hydrocolloids from the seaweed, which is used for the bioplastic, can actually be used as a marine-derived natural hyaluronic acid replacement in cosmetic formulations. There's definitely a wide variety of applications for this plug-and-play solution.
Is seaweed a reliable replacement in the sense of strength and durability?
Really, it depends on the final application. We cannot expect bio-based home compostable materials to replace a one-to-one ratio of their current synthetic counterparts, especially when we consider that the fossil fuel petrochemical industries have been over-engineered for hundreds of years with lots and lots, millions if not billions in subsidies to develop those materials. So it definitely is expecting a lot from a material that's not only engineered to break down naturally in the natural environment, but also hasn't been around for as long. But definitely, the durability factor is a function of the use application of the material. We're mainly focusing on displacing single-use medical plastics so that we reduce the need for durability. I think for me, if you need a device or a component to last for a very long time and be durable, plastic is a great fit. However, if we want to use something for a very short period of time, why are we using a material that can take centuries to break down? And when it does, it breaks down into microplastics. So really, it's changing the outlook on that and understanding that there's definitely still work to be done, and the only way we can really achieve that is through industry collaboration and working together. You know, if we really want to see a sustainable transition to a greener ecosystem in the UK and really globally, I would very much push for collaboration and appreciating that, of course, we're not going to be able to compete directly with plastics, but we're definitely on the road to having solutions which can satisfy the needs of the market.
This episode of the MedTalk podcast is brought to you by MedTech Innovation Expo, the UK and Ireland's leading event for medical device manufacturing. Save the date for MedTech Innovation Expo 2024, taking place on the 5th and 6th of June at the NEC in Birmingham. For more information, please visit www.medtechexpo.com.
What can you tell me about the process of starting your own company?
Yeah, so we founded Symbiotix about 2.5 years ago. It was just myself and my co-founder at the time. We found that the university we were at was incredibly supportive, and they did a lot of grants to help students who had their own idea of wanting to start a business, give them a bit of cash flow, also give them some mentorship and help them really build it from an idea into a proof of concept. I would definitely say to anyone wanting to look at starting a business, particularly if you are a recent graduate, is to reach out to your university. There's a lot of support there for innovation. And really, we built upon that as the base. Obviously, we put in a lot of time and hours into it, but we took every opportunity that came by us. And that is probably one piece of advice I would give people. It's every opportunity you get, take it, because you never know who you'll meet at that event, who will see you, who you'll, you know, who will notice you and your idea, and what potential collaborations can come from that. So really, it is taking every opportunity you get. And it's also engaging with your local council. The shared prosperity funds, which have just been set up in the UK, can also offer regional funds for businesses of certain sizes. And then hopefully you'll get to a point in which you can start applying to Innovate UK grants, and they have a lot of webinars to help support those early stage businesses applying to the grants, and can be really, really useful with the cash flow. And then obviously, hopefully you can go from there and potentially look at investment, or you might actually be lucky enough to start making revenues. It really depends on the initial upfront costs of your solution. that's probably my advice then, is every opportunity you get, take it.
Okay, thank you. And you became the CEO of Symbiotex by the time you were 23. Obviously, you've won a lot of awards since then, Female Innovator of the Year, Young Innovator of the Year. How does it feel as a woman in a senior position in such a male-dominated industry, or do you think it is actually becoming more equal now?
I definitely say for my generation, it has become more equal. We're very much aware of, you know, how it was in the past and the terminology we need to use going forward. Companies have definitely put into place more inclusive hiring practices as well. And you definitely see more women in this sector. And I'm really glad to see things moving in the right direction. I know that it hasn't always been that way. And discrimination has happened for so many, but we're definitely moving in the right way. And there's, of course, always still barriers to be overcome. But I'm definitely hopeful for the future. And me, myself, I've really enjoyed working within this industry and found it to be very supportive and lots of room for collaboration.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us.